Hey everyone, welcome to my podcast. This is Patty Valenzuela, the senior pastor of Ignite Movement Church in El Paso, Texas. Thank you for joining me. I hope this helps you and encourages you and helps you become all that you were created to be. Enjoy the message. So I'm ready. Are you ready? I'm going to get right down to it because I had a lot of questions and I said, God, how do I, because I'm really going to speak like very openly. I'm going to really open up and really speak because you all need it. You need not a sex education class, but you need to educate yourselves with knowledge. And so I feel that I have never, ever, ever, ever released this message. This is fresh, fresh, fresh revelation that's going to change your life. I know it. And so I'm super excited. It's something that happened to me recently. And so I'm going to share this with you and I'm going to open my heart because I really want you free and I want you to have healthy relationships. So I was asking the Lord, how do I even start this? Because it's so, it's such a message that is so inward that people don't really see this, you know, what goes on the inside of us. So I'm going to be very real with you. And I want to first start out by, you guys had a lot of questions. And some of the questions that you had were, you know, when do I know it's right? Where are my questions? When do I know it's right? What was the other one? What steps can I do to be ready for a relationship? And when do I know I'm ready? How do I know I'm ready to date? Really good questions. How do I know the person I'm dating is the one for me? You know, how many of you have ever doubted you're with somebody, they're even going to church, but you wonder if that's even the one for you? And so all these great questions that I hope that throughout this entire message, I am going to answer for you. And I ask God, how do I start this message? And I'll say this because I've walked life. I've been married 25 years. There's not been any adultery in my marriage. And I will say this to you. It hasn't been easy. Marriage is not easy. You're looking at a woman that has been married. My husband's back there for 25 years. And marriage is not easy. Can you say that with me? Marriage is not easy. It is something that you have to work at. And so I think young people, when you're young, I wish I had married couples. If I have married couples, it's going to minister to you as well what I'm going to speak on, because I'm going to get really raw with sex. But I'd like to say it this way. There are two kinds of relationships, and I myself can vouch for this. There is healthy relationships and there is unhealthy relationships. Can you say healthy and unhealthy? And I could say that I've had unhealthy relationships, even those that are Christian, and I've had healthy relationships that have really brought out the best in me. And so, before I even begin, let me answer this question. How do I know that I'm ready for a relationship? Let me just say this. Take a lot of notes because you need to pull out your phones. I want to teach you. I'm not going to come here and just preach to you, but I'm actually going to minister you. And I believe God is going to do incredible in your heart. Let me just say this to you. You don't start a relationship to heal a wound. Let me say this to you. You don't start a relationship and you don't start dating because you feel lonely. That is not why you start a relationship. When people ask, how do I know that I'm ready? Well, you're not ready just because you're looking for somebody to fill the void of loneliness. You don't date somebody and you're not ready to be in a relationship just because you want somebody, because it's Valentine's Day and everybody is getting teddy bears and flowers and you're the only one that doesn't have it. So you want somebody in your life. That's not why you get somebody to date you. You're not ready to date just because of these things. You know, that would be the wrong reason to go and find somebody. You don't date somebody because you're running from a problem and now you feel bad and that person's the only one there for you. And it seems like that person is the one that has been there. And you're like, well, nobody in my friends at church have never been there, but this guy has been there and this girl has been there. And so now I'm going to be dating them. That's not why you date somebody, guys. That's not why you run because of all these things and you run to, you know, fix a problem. That's what I would call an unhealthy relationship. That is not healthy at all. And so I had this other question that asked me, you know, how do I keep God the center of that relationship? Well, first of all, your relationship with God is very personal. So if you don't even have that, then how are you going to go start a relationship with somebody else? And so there is no way that I'm going to tell you. Let me just, please hear me and remember this. There are cycles to a relationship. I had many, many boyfriends growing up. I was a lonely girl, and I'm going to get into it in just a little while. But listen to what I'm going to say to you. There's a cycle to relationships. When you go and start a relationship with somebody, just because of the things that I have just expressed, then it will go through a cycle, this relationship. And notice how it works, because you guys have to understand that this church is by far wanting to be in any far from being weird and like, you know, we got to be accountable and I need to tell them what I'm doing. No, listen, don't get weird with relationships. Because some people start to get very weird and you just don't know. And I don't want to be weird. I want to be real with you. And I want to help you. Because relationships, when they're out of the will of God, when they're not in God, when a relationship is not healthy, this is what will happen. At first, you're lovebirds. And you just think everything's perfect and nobody understands you guys. And so you isolate yourselves. And before you know it, you start to have problems and you start to fight a lot. That's an indication that something's going on. And then after that, you start to do things that you're not supposed to do. You start to fondle each other and you start to do things that you're not supposed to do. So relationships will go through a series. When it's a healthy relationship, it doesn't go through that. You don't see all the fighting, but rather you see that the people begin to pull out the best out of you. So I want to start by talking to you about breaking wrong soul ties, because there are healthy relationships and then there are unhealthy relationships. And look at me, I have had both. I have had both kind of relationships where they're healthy, but then there's some that have been very unhealthy for me. And you say, are the unhealthy ones, have they been in the church? Yes, even the unhealthy ones that have been in the church have not been good for me. And so I want to talk to you about breaking soul ties really quick, and then I'm going to go into sexuality, because breaking soul ties, I think, is so key that you need to understand what this is. And I dare say that most and the majority of you in this room have a soul tie. And you don't even know it. Every relationship forms a soul tie. Every relationship. I can form a relationship with you. And it doesn't mean that, you know, we're dating. It just means that we have a relationship. Every relationship will form a soul tie. Hear me again. Every friendship, every relationship will form a soul tie. Can you say soul tie? There are healthy soul ties and there are unhealthy soul ties. David had a healthy soul tie with Saul. Jonathan. And you look at Saul's son, Jonathan. David had a very healthy relationship with him. Let me give you an example, because I can probably point at a lot of you, but the one that comes to my mind, because she always said that she was my Jonathan, was Norma Carnetta. And she has been with me since she was pregnant with Joshua. She's walked with me, and that relationship has been very healthy for me and for her. That is a soul tie. We are tied together. If you look at the person next to you and you're a friend with that person next to you, you are all building soul ties when you come here. Every friendship, every relationship is a soul tie. And so you need to know, is this relationship building something good or is it tearing me apart? So I would dare say everybody here has some kind of soul tie. In a relationship, let me just say this. I don't know if you've ever been in a relationship where you feel like you can't get out and you feel like you can't get over somebody. Am I talking to anybody in this place? I want you to be real. Where you just can't get over somebody and you think about them. And so let me explain what a soul tie is. Write it down. This is the definition of a soul tie. A soul tie is an emotional bond. Can you say emotional bond? It is a connection that unites you with somebody else. It is a bond. And it's such an emotional bond. It's an emotional bond. And it connects you to somebody. And you can't, it's like a really tight connection emotionally. Your soul can literally be tied to another person. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And so when a relationship maybe ends in your life, that's why you go through a grieving stage and you feel like something is dying. That's because you're emotionally tied to that relationship. You feel broken. You feel hopeless. You can't see beyond a day. You sometimes stand by the phone and you're waiting for the text message to come in and you're probably wondering, do I delete them? Do I not delete them? Should I keep them on my Facebook, on my Instagram? You know, should I keep them or should I not? You know, read old text messages that were like, I don't know, a month old, and you read them again and again, because the soul It longs to be with that person. And so you're hurting in a way that you have never hurt before. That tells you there's a soul tie, and you're hurting, and you can't get over the hurt. And it's, as a matter of fact, I did research and I found that, check this out, 3.9 million searches daily on how to get over a breakup. I'm going to say it again. 3.9 million searches on the internet daily on how to get over a breakup. There's a lot of people that are soul tied and they don't even know. Soul ties are formed how? Write it down. Number one, how do I form a soul tie? Through close relationships. Not all soul ties are bad. Some soul ties in your life will be very, very good. How do I know it's good? How do I know it's bad? Come on. Come on, guys. You know when it's good and you know when it's bad. I don't have to sit here and give you 10 steps on knowing if it's good or bad. One's either taking you to hell or one's taking you to heaven. It's that simple. One's pulling you towards God and the other one's pulling you away from God. And so through close relationships. And so number two, write this down. How do I build a soul tie? Number one, I'm getting close to this person. Number two, I make vows. I start to make vows. My commitments, words. You start to speak things. You say, I will always love you. You say things like, I could never get over you. You say things like, I will never love anybody like I love you. That is building a soul tie with that individual. And so what happens is, the Bible says in Proverbs that death and life are in the power of your tongue. There's another scripture, check it out. It says, you are snared by the words of your mouth. In other words, my words can be a snare, like a hook. And so when you say things like, you know, I just love you, baby. When you say things like, nobody ever will make me feel like you do. Those are snares. And if that person is not godly, if you will, or isn't right with God, it starts to form a soul tie. So one is through, can you say it with me? Through close relationships. Number two, can you say vows, words, commitments? And number three, and lastly, it is formed through a sexual, physical intimacy. When you are sexually intimate with the person, when you are physically intimate with somebody, now the soul becomes very, very tied, tighter than before. And so Satan's plan is to steal, to kill, and to destroy you. And the Bible says that he roams around like a roaring lion looking for somebody to devour. So what he's going to do is he's going to try to destroy you. How? By bringing the wrong soul ties. One way that the devil will try to destroy this young generation and adults as well is through a wrong soul tie. But he has to locate a weakness in you. He has to find what is your weakness. And many times it's through wrong attachments. And so when you have a weakness, let me say to you, when you have a weakness, your weakness gets weaker. It doesn't get stronger. And so Satan would love for you to ignore these weaknesses. And so a lot of young people, they have a lot of unhealthy relationships. And so what happens is there are consequences to that. When I start to build a soul tie that is not healthy, it's got a lot of consequences. See, the devil don't tell you the consequences. The devil doesn't tell you what's going to happen. All of a sudden you feel guilty. You feel ashamed. You stop even having purpose in God and life. You know, you're tempted in the wrong way. You feel dirty. You feel used. You feel insecure. You feel bound. You can't get over this person. And you're like, man, God, how do I get there? How do I get out of this? It's like a black hole. I don't know if I'm describing it to somebody, but it feels like you're never going to get out of this. It feels like, my God, I can't get over this person. They're in my mind. They're in my emotions. I can't get past it. That's a soul tie. You have to know that Satan works through deception. And when you choose to give, you know, give into an ungodly temptation, it leads always to death. Death upon your life, death on maybe your relationships with the family. And listen, the devil cannot defeat you. He cannot defeat you until first he deceives you. You understand that? Deception means you believe a lie, but to you, it's the truth. Has anybody ever told you, don't answer yes, but they look at you and they're like, dude, get it through your head. You're falling away from God. And to you, you're like, but I'm in love and we're in love and everybody can see it except you. That's called a deception. Satan can never, ever destroy you until he first deceives you. And when it's, listen, you got to see this. And please hear me. That's why you need truth and you need light to come in. When I heard this message, I started looking at all my life and I started looking at all the relationships. And I said, there's some unhealthy relationships. God, I need to break some soul ties in my life. Breaking free from soul ties. Hear me. It is very painful. It's, you are consumed with thoughts. You are tormented in the mind. Am I talking to the right generation? Yes. You're tormented in the mind. And so you have to, this is really key. When you have soul ties that are not well for you and you know they're not good for you, and you have to have a plan. You have to have a plan. Write it down. I have to have a plan. When the phone is going to ring, what is your plan? When the person is going to send you the text message, what is your plan? When you see a picture, what is your plan? When you want to sink into depression, you got to have a plan. When your mind starts to play all the memories, you need to have a plan. When your mind is tormented and you don't have the mind of Christ and your mind is tormented, what is your plan? You have to have a plan in place. God wants you free because he doesn't want you to just, you know, be bound by this. You know, he says this, forget the things of the past, he said, and move towards forward. He said, because greater things are coming, new things. Behold, I'm going to do new things. And so God's saying, I want to do a new thing, but I can't do a new thing when you're holding on to the past. So what happens is you start to miss out on everything that God has for you because you're in an unhealthy relationship. You miss out on the great things that God has for you. So I'm going to give you three quick ways on how to get free. Are you ready? Number one, you've got to wean yourself off. The word wean, W-E-A-N, wean yourself off. When I had my babies, Jacqueline was probably the one that was just really attached. And to wean her off, you know, when I was nursing her, just try weaning off a baby off a bottle. Any mother will tell you it is the hardest thing. A weaning off, I mean, Jacqueline would cry and cry and cry and cry. So there were times where I just said, the heck with it, I'm just going to give in. Soul ties are not broken because we keep giving in. So you have to wean off the bottle. Wean yourself off. Am I helping you? Wean yourself off of that situation. And so what does wean mean? Write it down, the definition. It means to deprive yourself. I lost about half of you. Deprive yourself of that person. Listen to what I'm going to say. Deprive yourself of that person until you no longer miss them. Oh, that's so good. I'm giving you meat. You deprive yourself of that person till you no longer miss them. And the day will come where you will no longer miss them because you know it's wrong for you. So a baby, if you look at a baby and the baby's screaming and the baby's crying and the baby wants the pacifier and the baby wants the bottle, they will scream, they will cry. It's like you're torturing day after day the poor child, and they cry and cry and cry and cry. But can I tell you something? The cry gets less and less. And today she's 17 years old, and I have yet to hear Jacqueline at 17 years old crying for her bottle. When you first deny yourself, your soul's going to scream. When you deny yourself of these relationships that are not very healthy, when you deny yourself, listen, your emotions are going to scream. And the more you deny yourself, the less it will feel like you miss it. Your flesh will scream. Jesus said, if anybody comes and follows after me, they must deny themselves and they must pick up their cross. Deny yourself. That thing is no longer something that you're craving or you're hurt by it. No one can make this tough decision but only you. Obeying God every single day, every day where you deny your flesh, every day where you say, God, I choose to obey you. You're making progress every single day. And whatever God is telling you to get rid of in your life, it's ultimately for your own benefit. You got to know that. It's for your own benefit. He isn't trying to hurt you. He's not trying to make you suffer. God sees down the road and he sees it further than you can ever see it. So he knows what's good for you. So what do? If I'm going to wean myself, I don't go to the party that they're at. If I'm going to wean myself, I'm not in their social media checking out all their stories. Hello. I wonder what they're doing. I wonder who they're dating. I wonder what they did. Come on, guys. You're a social media generation. You want to know everybody's business. So whatever that means to you, weaning off, then that's what you've got to do. Don't feel like you're being mean. Hear me. Don't feel like you're being a mean person. You're not rejecting the person. You're rejecting the sin. You're not rejecting the person. You are rejecting the sin that could come through that soul tie. Number two, I wean. Number two, I hear the word. I hear the word consistently. I hear truth because I've been in deception. I need the truth consistently. So this is key to your freedom. You have to make yourself hear God's word. You have to make yourself hear the preachings and so that light can come, because you don't want to live in the lies of the enemy. So you got to hear preachings and you got to hear the word and you got to read books that need light so that it can invade your soul and it gives you clarity and you're no longer confused. And see, confusion is of the enemy. That's not right. And so when you are in a healthy relationship, it never breeds confusion, but unhealthy relationships will breed all kinds of stuff. And number three, write it down. Clean out your house. Clean out your house. Clean out your car. Any reminder, stuffed animals that they gave you, clean it out. Get rid of it. Go sell it. Go pawn some stuff. Some of you are going to make some money tomorrow. You're going to go pawn some stuff. You know, oh, the watch that this person gave me. You know what? How much will you give me for the watch? You know, you got it. Satan works. Listen, one of the ways Satan works in your life, and know this, Satan will work through in your life through the five senses. Through your touch, through your smell, through your sight, through your hearing, your five senses. And hear me, the number one of the most powerful senses that he operates in your memory is the most powerful in memory recognition is the smell. Did you know that? You smell the cologne. You know, there's some people that drench this teddy bear in perfume. Did you know that that's one of the senses that's most triggered in your life through the sense of smell? Satan works through the senses. And so letters, gifts, music, go throw it away. Go burn it. Underwear, lingerie, burn it. Old text messages, get rid of them. Erase it. Hello, clean your house. All right, did I help you? Now I'm entering into sexuality. You ready? This is really, really good. Everybody has a sexuality. Everybody. As a matter of fact, there's not a person in here that doesn't. How do we deal with these real issues? I mean, they say that on the internet, one of the most things that are clicked on is sex. They say that in the internet, you know, it's probably how to get over a breakup and number two, pornography. Or number one, pornography. Number two, how to get over a breakup. Sexual behaviors, everybody has them. Everybody struggles with sexuality. I don't care if you're married. I don't care if you are, you know, already 50 years old. Everybody struggles with sexuality. Everybody. As a matter of fact, there are people in this place that even regress, you repress, if you will. You repress sexuality. You know, homosexuality, all that stuff. It's rampant. It's in you. And so we got to know, and in the body of Christ, we got to talk about this in the church. Like, I'm going to really be blunt. Is that all right? Let me tell you something. Your body, oh God, this is gonna set a lot of you free. Please write it down. Let me say something to you right now. Your body is not saved. I'm gonna say it again. Your body is not saved. I know when you gave your life to Jesus, or some of you that will give your life to Jesus, you came to the altar and you say, Jesus, I accept you in my heart, and oh my God, I am just so saved. Even my body's saved. My body is a brand new body. Oh my God, everything's new in my body. Listen, if you came with a wart in your body and you accepted Jesus, your soul is saved. Your spirit is saved. But when you go back to your chair, you're still gonna have the wart. Because your body is not saved. And so whenever your body gets, you know, news, if you will, that it's saved, it doesn't like it. Because your mind is being renewed, your spirit is saved, but now you got a problem with your body. Say, I got a problem with my body. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 9:27. He said, I buffet my body. I beat it to death. Paul said, look what he says. Read it. No, I strike a blow to my body and I make it a slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. He says, I beat my body to death. Does he beat it physically? Absolutely not. But he's basically telling the body, you're not going to do whatever it is that you want to do. And anything that is not saved must be controlled. So okay, my body's not saved, so what the heck am I supposed to do with it? So now you got to control what's not saved. And nobody can do that for you but you. If it was saved, you wouldn't be tempted in that area, in sexuality. There's not a person in here, I don't care if you're married, that has not been tempted in that area. Let me tell you the three areas that the enemy will get anybody: power, money, and sex. Power, money, and sex. You conquer those things, beloved, you have come far. And so here's Paul. He says, I beat my body to death. And so people come up to the altar and they say, pray for me. You know, I'm just, and then you go back home and you're like still struggling. And men are different than women. Men are just, I don't know why God built us this way, but we are just so two totally different individuals. Men have hormones like the bolt of lightning when you are young. And all you see is sex and you want to hang from vines. And you just, you know, because I'm a man. And you have raging hormones. Women are more like, hug me. You know, hug me. They struggle in relationships because women are more emotional. And then we're all at different stages and all different ages. But when you can look at a 15-year-old and you look at a 17-year-old, a 20-year-old, 13-year-old, you know, early 20s, 30s, it's just all, it's another kind of temptation. Then you're married, but it's another kind of temptation. But it goes down to the same thing. It's called sexuality. And everybody's tempted in that area. And we all have to control that area. Married, you know, you're intimate, you're affection, but listen, when you're young, you're raging hormones. Women, you're like, hold me. You know, men are like, I just want sex. They switch years later, and it's so interesting because if you study men, see, she now has hormonal changes when she's older, and now he's saying, hold me, and she's like, I want sex. Isn't that weird? Young men, driven by different needs. Loneliness, passions, affirmation. Matter of fact, in the Bible, it's so interesting because if you study the Bible, all the people that committed adultery, all the people that fell in sex were older men. They weren't younger. They were older men. At every age, you've got to be controlled. At every stage, this is going to be for the rest of your life. So learn it, heal it, and make sure you get delivered from it today. If you just want to walk, you know, in this, because some people will say this, you know, oh, we had such an amazing service. And if we just walk in the Spirit, everybody just walk in the Spirit and everything's going to be okay. I'm just an intercessor. I don't have those feelings. I mean, I'm no pastor, not me. I just, if you just walk, just speak in tongues. Let's just walk in the Spirit. That's a lie. Because there will be a day that you say, Lord, help me. Issues, so many issues. See, most people are affected now. And the things that you're dealing with right now as young people in regards to sexuality and the needs that you're having. Listen to what I'm going to tell you because I'm going to help you and I'm going to get to the root. Most people are affected now over things that happened to them in the past. Most people were around people that slept around. You slept around. You know, you were with people that were drunk. You were with people that did drugs. And one of the things that we have to do is we have to get free from our past. If you don't get free from your past, hear me, you will always struggle sexually. You must be healed from your past. There's memories and images that pop up, and there's not a guy in here. If we all really took a survey, and if every woman took a survey, because I know you're sitting there and you look wonderful and you're excited to hear this message, but if we were all honest, there is not a person in here that does not have memories and does not have images that start popping up. Everything that you ever did with somebody is stored inside of your memory bank. Every time somebody touched you, fondled you, or said something to you, or made perhaps a statement statement that they wanted to have sex with you, all that is stored in your memory. There are images inside of your head. There are memories that are stored. And I know that there's people here, and I know I'm speaking from my spirit. You feel tormented because sometimes the image pops up. Sometimes you feel like the memory just starts to pop up. And you all of a sudden, isn't it amazing how you can have flashbacks at the strangest times? Everybody can be, hallelujah. And then, shah. And you're like, whoa, what was that? Flashbacks. And you want a great marriage, but you're carrying all this garbage with you. And others not. You would be foolish to say you don't want a great marriage. Everybody here wants a great marriage. But we carry all this garbage. Every incident, hear me, every incident you're carrying with you. Every incident as a little boy you're carrying with you. Every incident as a little girl you're carrying with you. When you played Barbies and you saw pornography and all of a sudden you had thoughts and those pornographic images, they just don't leave you. It's like all those memories. Every little boy, when somebody fondled, let's play doctor, let's play nurse, let's play house, let's play this, the cousin, and this, all those memories you're carrying with you. And now you're saved, but your mind has images and you want to be a holy person. And later in marriage, hear me when I'm going to tell you this, you start to have problems because you have brought too many people now into the bed with you, and so you want to have this intimacy with your wife, and you want to be, you know, all give yourself to your husband, and you want to give yourself to your wife, but there's all these people in bed with you because of all the images and all the stuff that happened to you in the past, and you have to be free of all that junk because marriage shouldn't feel like an affair. This is an interesting story. It's an interesting story. Jacob, in your Bible, he's this guy, and he's in love with Rachel. When he looks at Rachel, he says, she's the most beautiful thing I have ever seen in all my life. Jacob was, he was one of those where he's just like, I mean, Rachel zone, Rachel. I just want to live with Rachel, sleep with Rachel, be with Rachel, marry Rachel. But Rachel has a sister, and her name is Leah. And the Bible goes on to say that he ends up going, because back in the day, you know, they were virgins. And if you're a virgin, you know, when you first have sex, the woman, she bleeds. And that's, if I wish I could have time to tell you, because intimacy and sex is such a spiritual, and it is a worship towards God, because see, God has, it's like the breaking of covenant with somebody, and it's so spiritual, because see, you got to understand that God created sex. The devil didn't create it, God created. And so back in the day, here's Jacob, and he wants to just marry Rachel. But the Bible says that he got tricked. And so all of a sudden, he's in the tent. He's getting ready to have this intimacy with his wife. And he wanted Rachel, but they tricked him, and he ended up marrying Leah. And Leah was ugly. They say Leah was so ugly, he turned off the lights. You know what I'm saying? Because she's ugly. They say Rachel was beautiful. But they say this girl, Leah, was ugly. But you know what's interesting about this story? And I never understood that. Listen to what I'm going to say to you. And then you read it and you're like, how can that be? He wanted Rachel. He loved Rachel. He wanted to sleep with Rachel. He wanted to spend the rest of his life with Rachel. But he ends up marrying Leah and sleeping with Leah. And he didn't even know it all night. Well, that sucks, Apostle. That really sucks. Like, why are you telling me that story? Listen, all night long, as he caressed his wife, all night long, as he was in intimacy with his wife and he waited for Rachel, all night long, in his mind, he was with Rachel, but his flesh was Leah. I'm trying to prevent you from having those situations in your marriage. Because in his mind, he just loved Rachel. He wanted to be with Rachel, but his flesh was with Leah. And every touch and every fondle and every soul tie and every sexual encounter and experience, and when you went all the way, listen, when you take it into marriage, you take it to the bed. You think it's going to go away? No, it magnifies in marriage. Ask a woman who's been married for 25 years. It will magnify in your marriage. It doesn't go away. You got to get healed. You got to get a healed generation. Issues. See, there are things inside people, and you can't tell who they are by looking at them. I can't tell who you are, but in the dark, you can't see it looking at them. But there's stuff in the dark that nobody talks about. So when you start talking about sexuality, you start to talk about the real person, who you really are, stuff that's really going on inside of you. The first thing is you need to marry somebody who you're equally yoked with. Equally yoked. Equally yoked. I wish I had time to talk to you about that, but I need to get you free. Second thing I want to talk to you about is you've got to be open, and you have to be very honest, and you have to be very real, and you have to be very sincere. Equally yoked. Who fits you? Who will bring out the best in you? Who will fulfill the calling of God over your life? I thank God that God gave me my husband. If I would have married somebody else, my life would have been a screw up. He was the perfect guy, and God orchestrated that man because he's been my protector since. That man, he just knows. And no, it's not been easy. And no, we have walked some struggles out. And we have had, do you fight? Of course we do. And we struggle together. And we fight together. But we don't quit on the marriage. Even when the enemy wants to just wrestle and wrestle you left and right. But one thing I can tell you is he compliments my ministry. He compliments the church. He's the wisdom and the backbone of any ministry. And he has more wisdom than most men that I know that can preach a fit. Equally yoked. What will fit you? Hebrews 13:4. And that's the only scripture I'm going to read to you. So read it out loud. It says, marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. He's going to judge who? Yeah, listen to me. Marriage is a ministry. Oh, I'm going to say it again. Your marriage is a ministry. It is a ministry. Marriage is a ministry that brings wholeness. Marriage is a ministry that brings restoration. Marriage is a ministry that brings healing. It's not dirty. It's not dirty. God did not create sex to be dirty. I used to think sex was so dirty and so perverted because I grew up with tons of pornography. My father did so much pornography. I'd go in the restroom and there were pornographic magazines all over the place. I knew exactly where he hid them. I knew exactly what closet to go to because I would pull them out because I got addicted to pornography at a very, very, very young age. I had no idea about sex, but I would go to my swings and I would masturbate on my swings. Set. I had no idea what even love was. I was a little girl. I must have been, 5 years old, and I was addicted to pornography. Can you imagine that? Stuff that is hidden deep down inside. I never knew that marriage was a ministry. I never knew that the bed had to be kept pure. And then you take it into the marriage and all of a sudden you're bound and you think that sex is dirty. But sex is not dirty. Sex is beautiful. And it is a worship experience that God wants you to have with the right person. God has blessed the unity. It's sacred. It's beautiful. Sexuality outside of marriage. The rules are clear. I don't have to tell you. It's clear, cut, sharp, hands off. If they're married, hands off. If you are touching each other, hands off. That's called sex before marriage. The rules are clear. I don't have to sit here and give you 3 rules, 3 steps. The rules are clear. Stop putting yourself in that position because you're ruining your purpose. Hello. God sees sex even as a sexual. I can't even go there. I have to have married people. Maybe one day I'll preach that. It says, and the bed is not dirty. Listen to me, beds are not. When you are married, who God has for you, there has to be, it's clear. He says the fornicators are going to be judged. The immoral people are going to be judged. And he says, if you play, you're going to pay later on. You're going to play. You're going to play. You're going to pay. You're going to pay. You say, no, but we're getting, we love each other. You're going to pay, guys, because it's clear. You're going to pay. In this room, there are people struggling with pornography. and nobody knows it. In this room, there are people that are struggling with images, thoughts. There are people, and the Lord spoke to me, with homosexuality. There are people wrestling even with affairs. And I want an honest church. Hear me. I want an honest church. People that are so honest. I don't want you to live a lie. Act like you just, you know, you're good. No, I'm good. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. And just fake it. And act like, you know, oh yeah, no. And you're not honest. And any time that you can't be honest, you will never be healed. It takes honesty to bring healing to yourself. You can't be delivered. You can't be healed. You can't because you're covering the wound. You can't be healed because you're covering the sores and you're covering all that's dirty and nasty, and you keep covering it, and nobody's going to know. And nobody's going to know. Who are you fooling? God knows. And what we need to do is to be delivered of what we have experienced. What have you experienced? So that we run into what he created. You have to be delivered. Can you believe that what he created, listen to me, write it down. Can you believe that what he created will be better than what you have experienced? Can you believe that what you have experienced is by far, not even close, and so amazing what he's created for you? So you say, oh, but I slept with Susie and Susie was amazing. Can you believe that what he created is more amazing than Susie? That pornographic image that you get and then you masturbate and you're like, man, that felt good, okay? But can you believe that what God created for you is so much better than that? The Bible says to forget those things that are behind us, reach towards those things that are before us, and I press toward the mark. In other words, letting go of this so that I can lay a hold of that. See, look, write it. Your early experiences direct your direction. Tell me your early experiences and I'm going to direct your direction, because I know exactly where you're headed by your early experiences. And you're a combination. Hear me. You are right now, young people, you are a combination of everywhere you have been. You are a combination of the night that you slept with that girl. You are a combination of the night that you fondled each other in the back of the car. You are a combination of all of that right now. And everything that touched you, and everything that touched you, and you touched, everything that you touched, you right now are a combination of everything that you have done since the moment you came out of your mother's womb when it comes to sexuality. A cousin fondled me. Somebody molested me. Somebody touched me. Somebody exposed me to this. You right now are a combination of all of that right now. And suddenly the mind just flashes. Images. Memories. Things you can't even talk about. Things that you don't want to say. Things that you're ashamed of. Things you say, oh no, that was just the devil. I could deal with that. But the image. Flashback, a homosexual experience. Maybe there are girls here and you just have flashbacks. What if I slept with a girl, kissed a girl? Question. Don't raise your hands. How many of you remember something that you don't want to talk about? How many of you remember something that you say, I don't even want to talk about that. And I came to this church and I don't want nobody to know. You can't see it on the outside, but it's on the inside. And you say, Lord, help me with the images. Everything you have been through, hear me. You can pop it up. Everything that you have been there through, everything, hear me, it creates a door. Everything that you have been through, it creates a window. I'm talking about sexuality. I'm talking about sex. I'm talking about the fondling, the images, everything. Everything that you have, the masturbation, the wet dreams, and you woke up and you were erected. Everything that you have ever experienced will create a door and a window for your life. Everything. Every experience, every moment, it creates a window and doors. And the windows and the doors of your life are accesses for the enemy to get in. And whatever you're struggling in, whatever the enemy that has broken into your life, he got in through something called a door and something called a window. If the devil is fighting you right now on something, an image, a memory, a desire, you're tempted to fall and you want to go have sex and the enemy's whispering at you and you just lie in your bed, you watch things and you remember the text messages and things are just inside of your emotions and they're riling up and everything that the devil is fighting you on, whatever that thing is for you, he's coming in through a door and in a window. See, now any thief will tell you that in order to rob a house, he has to have access. And when you got delivered, certain demons got put out and you swept clean the house. Hear me, the devil wants you back. And the danger is he knows where your doors and your windows are. He knows exactly where your windows are. He knows the doors that are there, the doors and windows to your sexuality. Hear me, you say, what are the doors and the windows to my sexuality? Because I want to be free. What are the doors and the windows to my sexuality? Hear me and write it down. The doors and the windows to your sexuality. Because everybody's different here. And even married couples have them. The doors and the windows to your sexuality are right around your experiences. Your brokenness. The windows and the doors to your sexuality are right around the incidents that occurred in your life, the accidents, the adversities, the molestations, two boys, two girls, a cousin, a friend, a neighbor, those memories, that abuse, that molestation, that's the door. Every door of sexuality and every window of sexuality will always be around your experiences. What did you experience? Have you grown up and you feel broken? It'll be around the incidents that happened to you, a father that walked out on you, the experiences that you've had, the adversities, the molestations, the rape, the abuse. Some of you just want to ignore it, but you can't ignore it because that door, around that door is every experience that I've had. I can't ignore the door. I can't ignore the window because around the window and around the door are so many things that I've been through. I've seen my mother have affairs. I've walked in my parents and I've seen them have sex. All your windows and all of your doors are around what has experienced. What experiences have you had in your life? Some of you just want to ignore, but you can't. You can't ignore it. But I'm telling you, that enemy is accessing you through a door. Something that you have been through allows him to know what buttons I can push in his life, in her life. Because the devil doesn't waste time offering you stuff that you don't want. The devil's not going to waste time offering you something you don't want. The devil knows exactly what to offer you. He doesn't send stuff that you're not wrestling with. He's only going to send you stuff that you're wrestling with. Men, women, do you crave children? He knows where to knock. Thoughts of even having sex with a kid. And you say, where did that come from? The Bible says that we are not ignorant of the devices of the enemy. So you need to understand that you're going to have to do some warfare. And it's going to be a long spiritual warfare because the devil is going to come back at you. You say, oh, but I'm free. I had a great, glorious service. And then 3 weeks later, the image. Laying down in your bed, and the desire to text again. The Bible says when the devil tempted Jesus, hear me? When the Bible says that when the devil tempted Jesus, he tempted him in the wilderness, and the Bible says that he left him but for only a season. If the enemy left you for only a season, he's coming back. He's going to come back. He may come back when you say, I do, and you have your honeymoon, and it's all great. But then 3 months later, you have images, and then you have kids, and then your wife gains weight. Suddenly you have a flashback in the bed like Jacob did. Oh, I remember Rachel. Oh, the enemy will come back in a season. And I want you to free yourself from all that junk. You need to understand that you have to do warfare. Seasonally, the devil will come back. There are, listen, Because you can lay down and you can have, because we do have them here, the most glorious worship experience, Holy Spirit experience. You can just knock out in the presence and you're just like, wow, oh my God, it felt so good. God, thank you for your presence. I feel good now. I'm free now. Oh my God, I don't want those thoughts anymore. I don't want those desires anymore. I don't want him to come. But when you come out of that great spiritual experience, he's gonna knock. The devil is, he's gonna knock. Are you home? It's me. Let me in. You don't have to tell anybody. They don't understand. Let me in. And you can be in church, and all of a sudden, you get a knock at the door. And you can't tell anybody. Be a church when I say go hug 3-4 people and you go hug somebody and all of a sudden nobody knows, but you hear the knock and you're acting like you didn't hear it, but you're getting a knock and you're ashamed because it's supposed to be your sister and it's supposed to be your brother, but you're getting a knock at the door. And the longer you walk with God, hear me church, the knocks, they get less and less and less. It used to sound so loud for me. The knocks in my sexuality, it used to get so loud that I would give in time and time again. And when you're in a healthy ministry like this one, he can't get you like you used to, because now you feel funny, because you're getting convicted, because your nature is changing and there's a difference in your nature. See, there's a difference between a pig. Hear me. There's a difference between a pig and there's, are you here? Are you here? Are you, did you just quiet? Are you getting ministered to? There's a difference between a pig and a sheep. When a pig falls in the mud, a pig lays on the mud and he likes the mud and he's bathing in the mud. He comes out and he's all muddy and he's just like, and then he goes back in again. But when a sheep goes in the mud, they cry. He's in it. But he doesn't want to be in it. She's in it. She doesn't want to be in it. See, that was me. I would cry. I was telling Andrea today, I said, baby, I would cry sometimes. And I would say, God, let my parents tell me no today. Oh, there are issues. Issues that are secrets. Inside, you got to deal with them. You're in it. But you don't want to be. You want to be holy. And you can't. And you come to church and you take notes and you serve. But all that stuff, it's not going to mean anything if you don't shut that door and lock it. You got to shut the door and you got to lock it. You got to shut the window and you got to lock it once and for all. Because if not, you're going to hear the knocks, guys. You're going to hear them. You're going to hear them after today. You're going to hear the knocks. You're going to hear them at church. All of a sudden, you're going to hear it's one of those nights and you just feel sad and you feel lonely and you feel rejected and you feel like depressed and you just hear the knocks. And you get to where you tell the devil, I hear you knocking, but you can't come in. I hear you knocking, devil. I know you know where I've been, but you can't come in. You can't, not today, devil. You can't come into my life, not today. See, so many people, and even men. Let me speak to you, men. I don't know everything about men, but, you know, I've been married long enough to understand some things of men. So many men feel alone because you have so many secrets. And you're alone and you can't tell your brother because you're afraid what your brother's going to say. So many women have secrets and they're locked up inside. And you're like, man, that's the part of me I don't want nobody to know. Men are so private. And then men defy women and they'll say, don't tell anybody. They don't understand. It's our business. When a man says, don't tell anybody, he's scared. He's scared. He doesn't want anybody to know. That elder Freddie, sorry Freddie, that elder Freddie is freaking Freddie. You don't want nobody to know who he really is. When a woman says, don't you tell nobody, that's our secret. You're scared. You're scared to deal with what's really going on inside of you. You're afraid for anybody to see the real you. You're scared because you're scared of being judged. But you know what? You've got to close the door and you've got to be real and you've got to be sincere, because if not, that devil's going to keep knocking and he's going to get you in your sexuality. And there are people here. There are some things that you haven't done, but it's in you. You haven't done it, but it's in you. And something has to happen in your heart that you come clean before God, where you say, Lord, can you just help me in this area? Listen, in this room, everything is in here. In this room, there is not one thing that's not in here. There are secrets in this room. You're not doing it, but you're struggling with it. You're wrestling with it. There are pictures and there are images. The abuse. And men don't talk. Men don't like to talk. Men just stay quiet. Men just hold it in. There are molestations, memories, images. Let me tell you something. One of the greatest things that can happen to you is to be healed from your past. Ask me. I was a mess. I lost my virginity at a very young age. And I was a very lonely girl. And I ran to boys because I had problems at home. That's not your answer. And it led me to so many things. Listen, one of the things that will stop you from being delivered, you want to be free? How many of you want to be free? You just want to be free. Raise your hand. You just say, I need to shut the door. And I need to shut the window before this devil just destroys me. I just got to shut the door. And I got to shut the window. I just have to shut it. I have to shut it. I got to bolt it down. Because if not, this thing is eating at me. The images are eating at me. I need the Lord to just help me with the soul ties. I just need help. Apostle, you're here today. And will you just minister to me? Because I've got these images and the perversion is there. And I can't get rid of it. And I don't know where it stemmed from. But see, the Holy Spirit is convicting some of you. Let me tell you the best way. Write it down. One of the things that will stop you from being delivered, what will stop you from being delivered or from anything, is focusing on it, thinking about it all the time, even praying about it all the time. God, help me. Oh my God. Okay, I don't want to think about this. Oh my God. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to think about it. See, thinking about it even in prayer and praying about it all the time is not going to get you freed and delivered. Because you're always thinking about it. Listen, write it down. Whatever you give life to, you strengthen. Whatever you give life to, you start to strengthen. And you pay attention to it. You focus on it. Your mind gravitates toward it again and again and again and again. Let me give you the solution. The best way to get free is to be distracted by righteousness. The best way to be free is to be distracted by righteousness, until all of a sudden you're caught up with what God has for you, until you're caught up with what God is calling you to do, until you're so caught up with what God is telling you to do that you get to the grace and you just leave what is, in other words, you leave whatever it was, you leave it behind because you are so caught up in righteousness. God never called a man, listen, God never called a man from anything without calling him to something that was greater than what he calls him away from. God would never tell you to leave Egypt if he didn't first tell you about the promised land flowing with milk and honey. He wouldn't tell you about earth if he first didn't tell you about how great heaven is. He wouldn't tell you something about sin if he didn't tell you something that there's righteousness and there's something better for you. You need to get so caught up in where you're going that you get the grace to escape from where you came from. I'm going to say it again. You need to get so caught up into where you're going. Where are you going? Where are you going? I have a purpose. Pastor, I have a calling. Where are you going? What is the mark? What are you aiming for? You got to be so caught up there that God gives you the grace to escape the pornography. God gives you the grace to escape all the filth and the dirtiness and the perversion and the images. That God gives you the grace because you're so caught up in what's ahead of you. And the Bible says, without vision, my people perish. Because many of you only, the only vision you have is where you came from. And you need a vision where you're going. Where are you going? I'm going somewhere. I'm busy. I got to get to my promise. There's a higher calling. There's a purpose over my life. I'm going to press toward the mark. I got to let go of the past so that I can lay hold of what's in front of me. I got to let go. I got to let go of the past. I got to let go of the images. I got to shut the door. I got to close the window. My God, I got to break free from these soul ties. I've got to do it. Even if my soul screams and my spirit is saying yes, but my soul is screaming, I gotta say no to the bottle. I gotta say no. I'm weaning you off. I gotta wean you off because there's something greater in front of me. And so many of you, you're so caught up with where you are. You're so caught up with where you are that you fail to realize that there's something so much greater in front of you. See, God's trying to rename you. Did you know that God's trying to rename you? Jacob, the Bible says his name was trickster, con artist, sleazy Jacob. I just told you about him. But when he gets in the presence of God, he wrestles that he may know his name. And Jacob says, who am I? Who am I really? Who am I? Because I'm not a slut. I'm not a perv. I'm not somebody who doesn't have self-control. That's not who I am. There's something up ahead. I'm not that person that everybody said I was, the reputation that you have. Jacob wrestled and he said, who am I really? All of his life, he's been named by what happened to him. Rape, abuse. God, show me. Oh, it's a struggle. And God told him, your name is not Jacob. God said, your name is Israel. Israel. You're a prince. And you don't even know it. See, God wants to tell you who you are, really are. The world won't tell you. Your boyfriend doesn't know who you are. Girlfriend, she don't know who you are. When you find out who you really are, you get the grace to turn away of being who they said you were. You are not who they said you are. You are not what you did. That's not you. If you could just find vision, what's in front of you, then you could leave everything behind. I did. And look at me now. Every eye closed. Every eye closed. I'll answer questions. Yeah, I will. But see, I can answer all these questions, but if I don't deal with the deep down issues of your heart, and the Lord said there are soul ties in this place. There are people with secrets. There are people, they have secrets. Yeah, secrets, images. You don't know who you are. You just don't know who you are. You feel dirty. You feel ashamed. And you come and you worship God, but you haven't been able to control all the hormones, and they're raging, and you're like, how do I even control? How do I stop this? How do I change? There's some images that pop up in my head. I don't want to be bound by that. I don't want to be a perv. I don't want to think those things. I don't want to be sleazy. I don't want to be known by that. I want to be pure. I want to be innocent again. How do I get there? Show me. Walk me through this. Somebody help me. I'm screaming on the inside of me, and I don't want to be this person that sometimes when I'm with my boyfriend, I want to do things. And sometimes when I'm with my girlfriend, I want to do things. And I feel these hormones that are just raging inside of me. I want to get to the real stuff, guys. I want to know your windows and those experiences. And see, I want to go around your windows. And I'm the girl that's coming to you today. And I'm walking around the doors. And I'm walking around the windows. And I want to know what's really going on inside there. I want to know, what were your experiences? What is it that you faced? Who touched you? Who fondled you? Who hurt you? Who took a piece of you? Who did you sleep with? Who are all those Leos that are still in the flesh, and your mind is racing over somebody else? And you could be in here and you don't want to tell nobody, but you're dating somebody. You're with somebody, but then you sometimes wonder, oh, I crave my ex-boyfriend. Somebody, You have this image of your ex-boyfriend. Suddenly you have an image of your ex-girlfriend, and you're a mess inside. I want to go around your windows. I want to go around your doors. I want to know the experiences that you have had. What's really going on inside? Who you really are. I don't care if you cry, because I could care less. I would rather be free. I ran to my prayer closet when I was soul tied. I ran to my closet. I said, God, I have so many soul ties. I gotta break so many soul ties. I am a mess. Oh, but I know a God. I know a God that can clean me. He's the only one that could tell me who I am. He started telling me, you're not a slut. You're not a slut. You're not a slut. That's not who you are, daughter. You are not a pervert. You're not bound by pornography. That is not who you are. I'm going to clean you up. I'm going to clean you up. I'm going to clean your mind up. I'm going to break all the soul ties in your life. Every person you touched, every person you slept with, I'm going to clean you up from that, and I'm going to tell you who you are. And then I want your eyesight. I want your vision focused on where I'm going to take you, not where you've been, not who you've touched. See, you got to deal with this stuff, guys, because if you don't deal with it, you're going to keep struggling, and you're going to say, oh my God, I have this temptation, I have that temptation, control it. I got to deal with the real stuff, the real stuff, the real stuff, the real stuff. Some of you are sitting here, you're going, oh my God, I've got so many issues in my heart. I want every eye closed. I want every person, nobody looking at me. I know that there are some secrets. I know that there are some issues, and I know that there are some situations that are going down deep inside, and there's soul ties. Yeah, yeah, close your eyes. Just you can dim my lights, and that'd be awesome, because see, God's going to deal with the heart. I promise you, he's going to go deep. And some of you, you're going to walk out of here, you're going to be so free from even every soul tie. You're going to walk out of here, you're going to start weaning yourself off, and as hurtful as it is, see, I want to talk to you. I want to go down deep into the roots of really all your experiences. Yeah, even when you played a house. Yeah, I want to go there, because see, it's popping up and you don't even know it. See, I want to go to that issue, the place that you say, no, I'm okay. The places that all of a sudden somebody touched you, or you touched somebody and you remember her perfume, and all of a sudden the enemy will just knock. I want to deal with those issues, because they're there, and if you don't deal with them, you're going to carry them into marriage, and all of a sudden you'll be like Jacob, and you'll be sleeping with Leah, but you'll be thinking about Rachel, and all of a sudden you have marital problems. I want to avoid that in your life. Real issues. Yeah, real issues. Yeah, the images. You know those images that you don't want to tell nobody? You know the secret, the dark places that sometimes haunt you at night, and you wake up and you're wet. Yeah, you're wet, and you're going, oh my God, what is this? I thought I'm saved. What is happening to me? Why do I feel like this urge to want to have sex? It's your experiences. Everything that happened to you when you were young, the images, the things that just pop up. Yeah, that's what I want to deal with. Who am I talking to? Who am I ministering to? Who am I talking to? Who's in this place and say, that's me. That's me. I want every young person, because there's not a person in this place that doesn't need this. There's not a person in this place that hasn't had experiences. See, you're sexual beings, and I don't know what your sexual experiences have been, but I'm going to tell you something. God created sex. Satan did not. And we got to deal with those images.
Hey everyone, this is Saul. I'm the producer of the Patty Valenzuela podcast. I want to thank you all for listening, and stay tuned for what's to come. We will soon have an email for you to contact us. Patty is on Facebook and Instagram. We want to hear from you. Let us know what you want to hear on the podcast. I hope you enjoyed this message. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you for joining me. If you're listening through Apple Podcasts, don't forget to rate us and share with your friends and family. Leave us a comment and let us know what God has been doing in your life. Connect with me on my Instagram and Facebook, and check us out on our website, www.ignitemovement.org. Links down below. Until next time.